I pray, God, that your presence would be here in a real and tangible way. And Lord, that we would just not experience it during this time, but when we go home today and the rest of this week, God, we'll step into your presence. Lord, we'll take your presence with us, Lord, to our workplaces. God, we'll take your presence, God, with us to our family and friends, God. We thank you, Lord, that you have made us your people. You've called us by your name, Lord, and we receive the fact, Lord, that we're yours, that you've purchased us, Jesus, and we receive the fact, Lord, that you are our owner, and that whatever is troubling us, Lord, is troubling you, Lord. So I pray today that you would let us receive your grace in such a way that our sorrows are traded for your joy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Honey, can you go up to that? You can go and kill it. Don't kill it, but you know. Dim the music. Kill it just sounds too aggressive. Yeah, we shouldn't kill the music. Can you go to where it says, run straight into your arms, unafraid? Oh, it's not up there. Oh, you need to double click on the. There it is. We can run straight into your arms unafraid, because every time we need you, we're met by love. That just tears my heart every time I sing that, because that's the absolute truth, is that we can, no matter where we've been, no matter how nasty we've gotten, no matter what we've done, we can run straight into his arms. Because that's the safest place we can be. That's where he heals us. That's where he restores us. That's where he brings that life that is in him into us. But we have to be willing to, no matter what condition we're in, run. No matter what the state of our mind may be, we have to believe that he's going to receive us. And so I'm encouraging today that he will receive you. He'll receive those who you know that appear as distant from God as they can possibly be. He will allow them to run right into his arms. So claim that for family. Claim that for loved ones. Claim that for people that you know that desperately need him. That they can run right into his arms. And they will receive love. They won't receive condemnation. They won't receive judgment. They'll receive grace and love. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. Because of what he's done for all of us. He took our place. He took the punishment that you and I deserved. And now all we receive is the grace and love of God when we run to him. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, praise God. Let's see. Do we have any children going to go downstairs? Yes. Here they come. Are you guys ready to go? Here they come. And there's still some probably hanging back. Not everybody likes to come up. Father, we thank you, Lord, for these young hearts, Lord, and these lives, Lord. We pray that as they go down today, Lord, you'd let them receive the word that you have for them. We pray, Lord, that there would be blessing in everything that they do today, Lord, and that they would come up and share a word, Lord, with their parents. In Jesus' name, amen. So parents, get ready for the word of the Lord. It may just be Jesus loves you, but that's a good word. Amen? Hang on a second here. This is our porta pulpit. Praise the Lord. Well, I was going to take some time and teach you on the treasury of scripture knowledge, but I was going to have to connect up to this computer up here, and the web is acting up today. So I can't do it. So next week I will, okay? And all things in the internet being considered with that, right? Or I'll have something else ready to go. How about that? In case that's not available. Yes?
Amen. The computer may be offline, but God never is. Come on. All right, so let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 61. I've been doing the one-year Bible again. Jesse is a advocate and a a faithful and true one-year Bible person. And I do it every now and then. This year, I'm reading out of the Young's Literal Translation, and most of you probably don't want to delve into that because it uses King James and then Old Hebrew translation, so it could be a little confusing, but the Holy Spirit can work all that out. But as I've been reading through it, and when I come to Psalms, I read it in the New King James and the New Living as I read a psalm, just so that I can get the reality and the freshness of it. But before I talk about this, I want to share a testimony. Pastor Gay and I got to go to Cannon Beach this week for our pastor's retreat. It was wonderful. A couple days before that, I was in my heart contemplating. I was thinking. I was musing in my heart the aspects of God's love, his supernatural love, what we were singing about. He's a good, good father. And that he's inside of me. And that his glory is inside of me. That it's not just Mike Lindell that's standing here, but because of the grace of God, part of God stands here with you, and part of God is inside of you. And so I was thinking about that power and that glory and that fire. I think I was sharing a few weeks ago about laying my heart on the altar and asking God to just consume it. Anything that's not of him, to just consume it. And I continue to progress in that way. But as I was thinking about this, I've been dealing with the fear of the Lord in my life. How many know that Jesus delighted in the fear of the Lord? It says that in Isaiah 11:3, that his delight was in the fear of the Lord. Now that word delight would be like you going and sitting in front of a Black Angus or Outback steak and just letting those aromas get up into your nose. That's the kind of delight that he had. He was savoring the fear of the Lord. He was anxious to feast on the fear of the Lord. That's what that word delight means. So obviously, if it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. Anybody else? I mean, if it was the fear of God and the fear of the Lord. Now, some people say, well, how can Jesus have the fear of God? He was God. Well, now, see, there you're going and you're thinking like a good Greek. Because what you're doing is you're thinking, well, God is in heaven and he was all on earth. But you got to realize that when Jesus came, he set aside his deity for a while. Says that he set it aside. He laid it down. He made himself a little lower than the angels. He came in the form of man. And so Jesus needed the fear of God. How many know that it says in Luke that he grew in favor with God and man? So there was something that Jesus had to do while he was here to submit himself to God. And the fear of God was his number one priority. I believe that when we're in the fear of God, all the other things align perfect in our lives. How many know that? Well, I was thinking about this fear of God and how I wanted it to flow through me. I wanted the fire of God to flow out of me. I wanted the glory of God to flow out of me through the fear of God. And how many know that most of the time we take things in? We see something, it goes into us. We do something wrong and it fixes in our hearts. But most of the time we think that where we receive is from the outside in. But God works the other way around. He goes from the inside out. And so I was taking that deposit of God and feeding it through the fear of God and my imagination and all the different senses that I had. And I was just basically creating in me a flow of God that would purge anything that was keeping me from walking in the true fear of the Lord. Now, while I was contemplating this, this is going to sound weird, but when it came to the fear of God, I sensed a gate that had these serpents on it. I thought, whoa, what is that? Why is the fear of God draped with serpents? Because serpents aren't good, right? So this was in my life. This isn't like for you. This is what was going on in my life. I'm going, Lord, what is this? So I just said, Lord, you know what? I purged this with your fire. And I just said, Lord, let your love, the fire of your love, let my heart burn. Let it just be purged right now. And I saw the fire of God just come in and burn these serpents. And they were gone. And the fear of God was wholesome, like it should be. How many know that we can be Christians, but we can have things wrong in our lives? I'm not kidding. And I'm not talking about just going down to, you know, Jackson's sports bar and getting drunk, you know, and you know, being hauled off, you know, because you got in a fight. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm talking about internally. We have things going on in us that keep us from becoming all that God wants us to be. And this fear of God issue in my life was tweaked. And I was wondering what was going on with me, because there's certain things that I'd interact with, and I'd go, like, I know that heart, my heart's not right. And I'd say, Lord, heal my heart and heal, you know, but I wasn't getting to the source. The source was in the fear of God. Praise the Lord that he has revelation for us, that takes us beyond our own ignorance and brings us into the light. Because how many know the light is the truth? And when you receive the truth and you receive it in an experiential way, you're set free. I didn't know this was going to be a teaching, but God knows what he's doing. Anyway, so what ended up happening is that I went through all my natural senses, took the love of God with the fear of God, my imagination, and purged and cleansed all my spiritual, natural. How many of you, we have eyes that are natural. We have eyes that we have that are spiritual. We have ears that are natural. We have ears that we have are spiritual. You know, you hear. How many hear God with their natural ears? Because if you do, please come and see me. Let's not exploit it, but let's make sure that you're not hearing something different. Because I've only heard God one time my whole life with natural ears. And so I think it's an unusual event. Now, it could be something started to happen to us more often, and praise God, because you don't need a whole lot of faith when God speaks out loud. It's like, okay, Lord, that's you. I'm sure when Moses heard God speak between the mercy seat, he said, okay, that's God. We're going to do exactly what he says. But a still small voice, sometimes hard to distinguish. So purging all these things. So Gay and I are on our way to Cannon Beach. And we stop in Portland for some gas. Now, about 2 weeks ago, someone was sharing about the difference between the justice of God and the mercies of God. And I don't want to get into the whole teaching, but the mercies of God are something that we give to others without them being able to deserve it or without them being able to pay us back. And when they were talking about this, they said that, you know, picture all of you who go by people who, you know, need money, and you just drive by and you say, well, I know what they're going to do with the money. I was right there. I know what they're going to do with the money. I would sit there and judge them for what they were going to do, even if I didn't know them. So not very much mercy was going on there. So years ago, I was part of a jail ministry, was for 6 years. I dealt with people after they got out of jail. Sometimes it was really great. They got back to work and, you know, their lives just went on. Other times they couldn't make it so well. And so because they knew me, sometimes I would get involved in a big scam. And I didn't have much money back then. I would lose money because I'd believe what they said and I'd go and help them out. And then I'd find out later on that what they said was going on wasn't going on at all, whether it was their bills or whether it was they need to go to the doctor. And so that put a hard heart in me. Actually, it was dealing with the fear of God in me. Isn't that weird? It really was. I'll explain it to you here. So I ended up driving up a ramp to get some gas, and off to the side of the road was a gentleman with a sign. And I mean, usually I've heard messages like that before. That was a couple weeks ago. But I'm telling you, I reached for my wallet as fast as I could. And I pulled out, you know, a certain amount of money. And Gay goes, what are you doing? I got to give this guy money. I mean, it wasn't like I need to give this guy money. It's the right thing. No, I've got to give this guy money. And so Gay said, oh, she's like grabbing some money. So she gives it. And so I rolled roll down my window and signal the guy to come over. And he comes up about three or four cars. And I say, here. He goes, oh, thank you. And Gay, being the spiritual one that she is, says, hey, can we get your name? We'd like to pray for you. Well, he said, my name's Aaron. And please do pray for me. I appreciate it. And when he said that, Gay goes, oh, we lost a boy whose name was Aaron. So I don't know how long this light was. It must have been stopped by God, because I started talking to him. I said, you know, I mean, God's got a destiny for you, brother. He's got a plan for your life. And before the light changed, he goes, yeah, sometimes you have to be humbled before you can go on. And I thought, oh, wow, Lord, you had him right at the right spot. And so I gave it to him, and I mean, I just started crying. I just started weeping and went and got gas. And it was just, I mean, it was so powerful. I mean, it was a poignant moment for me. And so then we were driving to the beach. And I hadn't told Gay about, you know, contemplating the fear of God and all those things, but I said, wow, that was really powerful. His name was Aaron. So, you know, we had a discussion about that. And I said, let me tell you something. I told her that story. And I said, I'm changed. I said, I feel like, and I am going to do this. I'm going to say it so that I do it. I'm going to go get $100 in fives, and I'm going to be ready to give money out, just because it should not matter to me what they do with it. I'm blessing them in the name of the Lord. If they want to go and abuse that, that's up to them. But I want to give mercy so that I can receive mercy. And I want the fear of God to stay pure in my heart. See, those serpents were resentment and bitterness. And they were keeping me from walking in the fear of God. Because, you know, if you think about it, the fear of God means that you're walking very humbly before him, and you're realizing that it's only by the grace of God that you're here, and that those individuals in those situations could be you if your circumstances maybe shifted a little bit. So it's only by the grace of God we are where we're at today. And if you're in a difficult spot, know that it'll be the grace of God that takes you to a new place where you won't be in this situation. So I just want to encourage you that, you know, God's doing a work in us, and all we have to do is be open for it. Run into his arms and say, Lord, what do you want to do in me? Commune with him in your heart. You know, think about him. Don't just read the word, but let the word become part of you, and then let the life flow out of you from that word. Amen? Well, speaking of the word, let's read a little bit here. Well, before I do, does anybody have anything that goes along with that? Belle, come on. I thought, wait a minute, don't just do this. Get right into a zone and plow through and not let God work.
The one thing that I want to add was that when you're obedient to God and in giving mercy, he's going to bless you. Something happened on Friday where Al came to visit me at work, and he said, I need to go see your mom. I'm going to get her groceries. I said, no, don't do that. It's going to cost so much at International Market. I'll get it at Costco. And he said, don't take my blessing. And so he goes to get her groceries, and long story short, she has absolutely no food in her fridge. So if you're listening to God, God will work inside of you, and he gives mercy to people so that they can give it, but that they can get it back. And so this story just goes along with that. So,
amen. Yeah. Thank you. Yes, obedience is definitely better than sacrifice. So Psalm 61, I'm going to read the 8 verses, and then we'll go ahead and just go through and pick some golden nuggets out. How's that? Lead Me to the Rock is the title. To the chief musician on a string instrument, a psalm of David. Now, you don't have to have a string instrument to read this, but this was actually a song in the Hebrew. Sometimes I read these and I go, how is this a song? I can barely read it, much less sing it, you know. So maybe in the Hebrew it just flowed off your tongue. I don't know. But here we go. Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings, Selah. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. You prolong the king's life, his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. I do that sometimes. Anybody else? Hear me, Lord. Attend to my cries. Hear my heart. It's a good place to start. Maybe if you haven't prayed for a while, just start there. God, I'm going to start talking. Would you listen? I know it's been a while, but I know that you don't turn away from those who cry out to you. I'm crying out to you right now. I need you. From the end of the earth, from the end of the earth, I will cry. That's a pretty desperate cry. From wherever I may be, I'm going to cry. Whatever I may be involved in, I'm going to cry out. Most desperate situation I've ever been in, I'm going to call on you. I'm going to call on you because you've got the answers. You're the one that brings the deliverance. I like this. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That's an interesting statement. Lead me to the rock. And when I was reading it in a couple other translations, I said, what is this saying? Lead me to the rock that is higher than I? I mean, we always think of a rock like solid on the ground, right? We always think of a rock, something that is, you know, a big boulder or something that's here with us. Very rarely do you see a rock sitting in the middle of the sky. And if you do, you better move because it's going to probably squash you. Most of the time, rocks we don't think of in a place that would be higher. I guess you could walk up a mountain and maybe find a rock, but it's still going to be on the ground. I believe he's talking about a rock that is not of this natural realm. He's not just talking about a rock that's just a firm foundation. He's talking about a rock that is God himself. And he's asking him to lead him to that rock. It doesn't make sense because it sounds like he knows him, yet he's saying, lead me to this rock that's higher than I. I think he's saying, there's more to you, God, than meets the eye. There's more to you than I know. Lead me to this rock, this shelter, this tabernacle that isn't made with hands. This rock that isn't just a stone that someone set up somewhere as a memorial. Lead me to this rock, this firm foundation, this security that is you. See, that needs to be our cry. Our cry needs to be, I may know you, God, but I don't know you enough. I may know some things about you, but I need to know you and your ways. I need to know your heart. I need to know how you think. I need to know what moves you. I need to know what causes you to smile at me when I don't look so much like somebody should be smiling at me. Because it says he rejoices over us with singing. I can think of some times he probably wasn't rejoicing over me. But that's my perspective. See, he's a good, good father. He believes in me when I don't believe in myself. He believes in you when you don't believe in yourself. He is that rock that's higher than us. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. How many know that the devil may have messed you up a few times, but I'm telling you, without the shelter of God in your life, you would not believe how bad he could mess us up. We are protected. We are secure in him. Yeah, things may come along. Sometimes we blame things on the devil. I'll tell you, it's just life. How many know life sometimes sucks? Just being honest, sometimes it does. Sometimes life deals us lemons. Does God allow it? Yes. I mean, could he make it so that no lemon touched us? Yes. But without a test, is there a testimony? Is faith ever tested when it's all good and there's no problems? I was just talking to George before the service, and we were saying how it really takes being down a little bit before you start really looking up. Because when you're on your own level, everything seems to be good, you're not looking up very often. When you seem like you're able to handle it yourself, you're handling it yourself. You're thankful. Thank you, God, that things are going well. But it's really when we're down in the dumps that we tend to look up for that rock that's higher than I, for that shelter, for that strong tower, for that refuge. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Psalm 91 years ago was one that I memorized. The Lord said, I want you to memorize this, but he didn't just have me memorize it. He had me in it for like 6 months. And this is before, you know, people did this kind of thing, I think. And I would just, you know, again, just meditate and just remind myself. I can't quote it verbatim anymore, but it's in my heart. You know, I know that he is my strong tower. He is my shelter. I hide myself under the shadow of his wings. That he is a place that I can go to when there's nowhere else to go. And I mean, I've been at places in my life where there was nowhere else to go. He was it. Yeah, there were people that were supporting me and loving me, but I could not go to them. This was just God and I getting through this. And how many know that he will get you through it? You can trust him. You can lean on him. He's not a staff that's going to break. You know, he's leaning and trusting God is not leaning on a twig that's going to break. You know, he is the strongest support system that we'll ever find. And we can put all of our weight on him. We can make it so that it, you know, anything else would be bending and breaking. But he won't. We can trust in God. Have you ever pictured God with wings? I haven't. And I believe that either David saw a characteristic or a part of God, or just knew in his heart that he was like, you know, a bird that would cover us. But you know, God may have wings that we're hidden under. You know that? Huh? Psalm 91. There you go. Under the shadow of your wings. I just do that every now and then. I read something under the shadow of your wings. I mean, if God flapped his wings, what could happen? Things could move, right? Blow on us, Lord, with your wings. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Now, vows aren't something we talk about much anymore. When I read this, I said, do I even share this passage? Because, you know, vows, you know, Jesus says, don't make a vow in heaven or earth. So we have this communication to us that making vows by Jesus isn't a good thing. But this word vows can also mean a covenant or commitment. And I just want you to know that you can make a covenant with God. You can ask him to help you in such a way so that you can fulfill what the desire is in your heart. Now, I know that sometimes, you know, we have habits that are bad and we want to break those habits. And sometimes we say, I will never do this again. I quit, you know, and we try to do it on our own strength. You know, you put whatever you want to quit blank in there. You know, there's different things. Quit lying, quit cheating, quit stealing, you know. Obviously, those seem like, well, we should probably stop those. But I mean, sometimes there's vices in our lives, you know, that you know, we don't want to have in our lives, because one thing, they may be bad for our health. Another thing, they may be something that is not letting us become all that we're called to be. Because, you know, God really sees us through amazing eyes. He sees us as a finished work. And a lot of times our indiscretions, that we'll call them, keep us from seeing ourselves as he sees us. And because of that picture that we see, we then don't believe that we're becoming what he's called us to be. And so sometimes those vices, those habits that we have, we say, I'm never going to do it again. Or we say, God, I quit, you know. Well, I'm telling you, that's probably the wrong way to do it. I've seen lots of people try that way. Sometimes it works, but I'm telling you, how about this, where you say, Lord, help me to fear you in such a way that I can move beyond this habit. Help me to yield to the power of God that's inside of me already. I mean, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is inside of me, and it will quicken my mortal body. I don't think that just means that I can run around the church real fast. Although that's probably the case if I've got the Holy Ghost. But I'm talking about quickening my mortal body so that the things that are in this temporal vessel can be transformed. Whether it be sickness, disease, habits, sins, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ lives in me, lives in you. And he can transform us. He can transform us. He can change us into his image, his likeness. Not just a spiritual way. I believe physically. But we have to submit to it. We have to say, I can't do this on my own. For you, O God, have heard my vows. He hears our hearts. Even the ones that we don't speak. Even the ones that we don't want to tell somebody else. The issues in our life. He hears our heart. He knows our prayers before we speak them. So you work those issues out with God. He'll tell you what needs to be out of your life right now. You may think, well, this is the main thing. And he may say, no, 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 son. You got issues over here, and if you fix this, this main thing will be gone. He knows us better than we know ourselves. That's really what David's saying here. For being king, David was pretty humble. For being king, David was pretty dependent upon God. You know, most kings think, well, I say, whatever I say goes, whatever, you know, I'm top guy. Well, he said, you're top guy, and you've put me in this place. Yeah, did David mess up? Yeah, he messed up. But it wasn't his whole life. David is known by God's own words that he had a heart after him, a man after his own heart. You prolong the king's life, his years as many generations. So, live long. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. Now listen to this. Mercy and truth. David's asking God to prepare those things. David's asking God to make sure that mercy and truth are working on his side. That mercy, as we give mercy, we receive mercy. And truth is the commodity that we need most today. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. But not many people are leaning on the Holy Spirit for truth. Most people are leaning on their own understanding. Most people are looking at circumstances with their eyes and with their ears, and they're making a judgment. After it says that Jesus delighted in the fear of the Lord, he delighted in the fear of the Lord. It said he did not judge by what he heard with his ears or saw with his eyes. I'm telling you, that's where we need to be this day. That we're not moved by what we see with our eyes or what we hear with our ears, but that we're moved by what we know and discern in the Spirit. Because things can look really good and things can look really bad, and we need to know what is going on with both of those situations by the Spirit, not just with our own judgment. And that would be difficult for most. That's difficult for me most of the time, but I know there's a way that's higher than I. I know there's a rock that's higher than I that I can achieve the discernment that I need for this day. So I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Now this is interesting. He's saying, I'm going to praise your name forever. He has a heart of praise. He has a heart of worship. We were singing that one song that says, you know, You put the breath in me. And this breath that you gave, I'm going to sing back to you. You know, God owns everything. He owns your tithe before you give it to him. For crying out loud, he owns the 90% or whatever percentage you have left over. He owns it. He owns all these chairs. He owns all the hills. He owns everything. You say, well, that's not really true because, you know, Donald Trump owns a lot of hotels. I'm telling you, doesn't matter if you're Bill Gates, doesn't matter. He owns your stuff. You may not acknowledge that, but the truth is that he owns it. But the only thing that he doesn't own is what you freely give him out of your heart. That's a gift that's worth more to God than anything. It's worth more than your tithe. And when we praise him from a pure heart and gratefulness, I mean, that's a song that the angels join in. It's a powerful thing, your thanksgiving, your praise, your gratefulness. And notice that it says, as I do that, that I may daily perform my vows. In other words, as you praise and you worship him out of a grateful heart, it helps you to do the right thing. It helps you stay on the right path. It helps your crooked ways to get straight. Praise is a door opener. It's a gate. It says, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving, your courts with praise. It's a way to enter into his presence. And it's not just praise, you know, with a band, or it's not just praise on the radio. It's a praise and a worship that comes right from your heart. You don't have to have any music. You don't have to say a word. You can praise God just from your heart. You can praise and worship God just by the way you live. Romans 12 says, you know, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service of worship. Just living for God is worship. I always like to say this. You can either worship God with your life or worship the devil with your life. And the way that we live according to the way that we know God wants us to live is worshiping him. But when we do our own thing, you might as well be just worshiping the devil. I know those are hard words, but either we're going to worship one kingdom or we're going to worship the other. Now, that doesn't mean that we're Satan's property, but for the time being, we can whoop his side. We don't want to do that, do we? And if we knew we were doing that, we probably would stop what we're doing. We just think that we're just doing our own thing, pleasing our own flesh, enjoying ourselves. We don't think that we're actually giving the devil high five and saying, yay, devil. No, we don't want to do that. But that's what we're doing. And David knew that when he would praise his name forever, in his heart, I'm going to praise you. When times are tough, I'm going to praise you. When the baby looks like it's going to die, if you guys know the story, I'm going to seek you and worship you and praise you. I'm gonna see if I can turn your heart. I'm gonna go after you. That was after he had committed his worst sin, his most public sin. I'm sure David had things and issues in his life. Don't think he was perfect. I mean, there's other things that it talks about where he probably made the wrong judgment. But he knew that a heart seeking praise forever, not just today, not just Sunday. One thing that I want us to rethink about is using the term, this is the day of worship. Because it's used, you know, quite frequently. This is our day of worship. No, it's not our day of worship. I mean, maybe the day you come to church, maybe the day that you sing a song with a group, but it's not your day of worship. Your day of worship is every day. That's like next week is Easter. And yes, Easter, when Jesus rose from the grave, I admit, without that, we would not even be sitting here. But I'm telling you, Jesus' resurrection now is every single day. When someone receives Christ, that resurrection power comes into them. And all the angels rejoice, just as when they rejoiced when he came out. We got to remember that our Christianity is not segregated into these time slots. Whether it be reading the word, whether it be a Bible study, whether it be going to church, whether it be singing a worship song, our whole life is God. Whether we acknowledge it or not, he never turns his eyes off of us. He never stops thinking about us. He never leaves us. He's always in us. Whenever we think about him, he's thinking about us already. You know, it says, you know, seek him while he may be found. You know, come to him and he'll approach us. Really, after Jesus did it, he's always thinking about us. He's always working in our lives. Because he's God. And that's a good thing. So let's go ahead and stand. So if you can, just take a moment and put your hand on your heart. We're not going to say the Pledge of Allegiance, but I tend to do this a lot now. And the reason that I do this is because I know that it says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And I'm trying to connect with my heart in such a way that I want it to align with God's way. I want it to connect with the creator of all things. And so as we put on our hands on our heart, I'm just going to ask that the Lord would just do an awakening in us, just as he did in me with Aaron as he was standing on the side of the road, and that fear of God that was somewhat tainted in my life had been healed. Now, the Lord knows what's in each of us. For you, your fear of God may be 100% pure. But there may be other areas of your life today that if you really examine them, there may be some serpents. There may be some needless to say, things that are not of God in there. So, Father, we just come before your throne of grace right now, Lord, and we know that we can obtain mercy and help in time of need. And, Lord, there may be needs right now, Lord, in our life that we don't even know about. We don't even know the root of them. We don't even know what's causing them. But you do. And so we submit to you, Lord. We ask you to lead us, Lord, to that rock that's higher than us, that we can stand on today and receive grace, Lord, that will enable us to go through, God, this dark spot in our lives and transform it into who you want it to be and what you want it to be. We yield and we surrender to the power of God. We yield and we surrender to the love of God. We allow the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit to just permeate our entire being right now. Every area of our will, our emotions, our conscious, our subconscious, every area, Lord, of our heart and our reasoning, our understanding, every area, God, that may be seen or unseen, Lord, we ask you to purge and cleanse with that power. Lord, we want to know you like you know us. And so we surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit to search us out. We give you permission, Holy Spirit, to search us out and see if there's any ways in us, Lord, that aren't pleasing. Any ways, Lord, that are keeping us, Lord, from extending mercy or grace to someone. Any ways, Lord, that are keeping us connected to a vice that not only displeases ourselves, Lord, but keeps us from becoming what you're calling us to be. Lord, we just ask that we could hide in the shadow of your wings, in the shelter and the refuge that you are, your high tower, your tabernacle. And Lord, that while we're there, you just clean us up. You purify us and make us into the vessels that you've called us to be. And we thank you, Lord, that as this prayer is aligned with your will, that you will allow it to take place in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise the Lord. Pastor George, does he have a word? Do you have a word? Gay thinks she might have a word. She's pointing at you. Do you, or are you just, you don't? You don't have to. Okay, he wants to say something.
I don't get the privilege of listening to your pastor share very often. That's why I came today. And what a wonderful word. And I was thinking as we were worshiping about the cycle we go through from the brazen altar to the altar of incense. And we do it often, and perhaps all of our Christian life, we're in this cycle from repentance to worship, never going into the veil. And I know that's what the heart of your pastors are, is to take you inside that veil. The question that comes up is, am I worthy? Can I go in? I think unworthiness is probably the greatest thing that we suffer from, and that's what your pastor dealt with this morning, taking those snakes out of the way. Just apply the glory, the fire of God often if you need to. But we come again to that veil. We come to the worship time. And it's beyond the veil is where the mercy seat is, isn't it? It's in there where the glory of God exists. That's the room we go into where we enter into the heavenlies. So I just encourage you on your journey to not do the cycle back to the altar, up to the worship, back to the altar. Let's take the advantage of what we heard this morning about the being worthy to step through that veil. He has made us worthy, hasn't he? And stepping in as the high priest, we are that king and priest that God's made us into. So don't allow unworthiness. That's taken care of in this grace and the mercy of God. And when you come to worship next time, not next Sunday, but next time, just step in through that veil into that mercy seat where the Shekinah glory is, where the angels are, where the rod that buds, where the manna, where the tabernacle, the tablets are. And let's not get caught in that whirlpool, that circle of repetitive, I'm not worthy, oh, I am worthy, Lord, I'm not worthy. And that's what I was hearing this morning while we were worshiping and while you're speaking. What a good word. And you're on an exciting journey, so just let the Lord take you into it. Amen. I had a experience a number of years ago now, and I draw from it all the time. It's part of my journey. I was coming out of my garage into my house, little hallway called the laundry room, and I shut one door, and the Lord asked me, he said, what would you do if no one ever explained to you the mystery of the doorknob? And I said, well, I'd be locked in this room. And the mystery of the veil, the mystery of stepping in, that's what you're hearing these last few years here in the last few months, how to step in, how to get out of one room into the next, and to be in this room where we're worthless and we're just an old sinner saved by grace versus being able to step in as a king or a priest. As the high priest went in, so he has made us a priest unto God. So let the mystery of the doorknob be revealed in these days. And you heard it this morning, just a little bit more of how to just step in and appropriate that, the ability to not be cast out and not be rejected, because I have been made righteous. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Well, praise the Lord. Well, have a wonderful day. Blessings, and we'll see you soon.